So I would like to offer you some brief reflections on the theme of Dana. And also, of course, like you to participate in the practice of Dana. Dana, of course, means generosity or giving. A few days ago, I received a request. And the request came from Jonathan's rather beautiful wife, Ronnie. And it was that I speak about the theme of Dana, something I tried very hard to avoid. And Jonathan assures me that if I don't speak about it, she won't let him in the house when he returns. So here I am, endeavouring to speak on this theme. It's actually quite difficult for me, because I come from a culture where to speak about money is considered really impolite. You would never ask somebody for money. You just wouldn't. And so, for me, the practice has been one of opening my heart and starting to understand this extraordinary tradition of Dana, which dates back, of course, to the time of the Buddha. The teachings have been given freely by the teachers for 2,600 years, and monasteries and places of meditation and meditation centers all around the world have been supported by the acts of generosity from those who come to hear the teachings, to hear the Dharma. It's considered such a priceless gift to actually hear the Dharma in this lifetime, or such a gift that it's considered priceless. So to hear the teachings and to know the possibility of awakening is considered to be something that we cannot actually put a price on. It's considered priceless. And the Buddha said, if we knew the actual effect of an act of generosity, we would never eat a single meal alone. That we would share every meal, because there are so many benefits of that generosity. So in many ways I have deep appreciation for the system of Dana that teachers like myself and others give rather freely of time and effort and energy, and those who come, if they are able to, also give some offering to support that whole process and this ancient and beautiful tradition. I have a couple of very short stories about Dana. In one of them is about Sujata, a young woman in India who came to the Buddha, actually when he was Siddhartha Gautama, before his awakening. He was in the Bodh Gaya, who had been there for many weeks, and he was sitting under a tree or the shade, meditating, and he was also practicing some rather severe austerity. He had been fasting for a very long time. He had fasted so long that he was quite ill. And still, through these practices, these painful, difficult practices, the Buddha knew that he was not yet awake, that there was more to see and more to understand. Yet at this time, of course, his health was rather poor. And this lovely young woman, called Sujata came. And she made an offering of a bowl of milk rice to the Buddha. To Siddhartha Gautama. He had, of course, been refusing offers of food before. But in this case, he decided that he would accept. So he accepted the milk rice from Sujata. After eating it, he felt renewed, refreshed, replenished. And he made a decision that the extremes were not the way. That the way to wake up, the way to live an awakened life, was actually the middle path. So this act of generosity on the part of Sujata actually kept the Buddha to be Siddhartha Gautama alive. Had she not been so generous in that moment, and had he not accepted the generosity, we may not have had the Buddha's teachings now. So you see, one act of generosity, an act of giving, can have repercussions down the centuries even. And so when we give, we don't fully understand and know often the benefits of giving. Giving and receiving are not different, actually. Because we can't give without being a receiver. I can't offer or give the Dharma teachings unless you listen. And if you were to offer me Dharma, you can't give unless I also receive. And so in that sense, there's, in fact, joy all round. Because when we give, we feel a wonderful sense of joy. If we reflect, think when you've given someone a gift that they've really appreciated and loved, there's a wonderful joy that moves through the heart. So this is the joy of giving, the joy of practicing generosity. And generosity is the first of the 10 perfections, the perfections of the heart and mind. And so as teachers, we offer really, really freely, with the freest heart we possibly can, all that we've come to understand ourselves, just as my teachers offered me that. And I've had the very good fortune to have some exceptional and wonderful teachers, and I am utterly and totally grateful to each of them. My other story about Dharma is a story from my own life. I was teaching meditation with Christopher Titmus in India in 2003. We'd been teaching at the Thai monastery, and the teachings were complete, and I immediately went across the road and to an internet cafe where there was a phone. It was before iPhones, and this easy connection we have around the world. And I called my mother. My mother at that stage was living at home alone. My father had already died. And I just had a sense that I should call them. So I did. And the phone kept ringing and ringing and ringing. And there was no answer. And I knew immediately that something was wrong. She was always at home. And so I called my brother. And he was just a mass of tears because he hadn't known how to contact me. And he said, I went to the house this morning and I found her collapsed on the bathroom floor. She is in hospital and the doctors say she has only a few days to live. Perhaps 24 hours, maybe 3 days at the most. And so there I was in India. I had a ticket, but it was not for another 3 weeks. And my brother, who's lived in Asia quite a lot, said, there just isn't any way that you'll be able to get out of India. So I said, look, I'll try. I'll call you, I'll try. I'll try to get on the plane home. And so I went to see my Indian friends and said, what can I do? And the only money I had was the dowry that I had been so kindly given by the participants in the course at Saranath. It was all I had. I did not have another cent in the world. So I went to talk to an Indian friend and said, look, this is my ticket. And he spoke to his Indian travel agent and they said, there is only one way you can get out of India in a hurry. And it is with this ticket, if you go to the airport of departure, which was Kolkata. So I was in Saranath outside of Varanasi and I had to get to Kolkata quickly. They said, there's only, I think, 2 or 3 planes a week. So you need to get there tomorrow. If you're not there tomorrow, there is no hope of you catching the plane out and getting home in time to see your dying mother. So I said, okay, I will just go. What's the fastest way to Kolkata? And they said, really sorry, but you have to catch a plane to Delhi first. And then from Delhi you have to catch another one. So you go one way from Varanasi to Delhi, so you go across India one way. And then, of course, you have to get the plane back, totally across the other way, to Kolkata. At that time, all the phone lines in this town where I was staying were completely down. There was just no connection. They'd been down for a long time. So there was no way I could call my brother and say, please arrange me a ticket, or anything like that. So I thought, okay, I have this one opportunity. And so I said to the travel agent, how much is the fare? And he said, look, it is really expensive. I'm so sorry, it's really expensive. I said, how much? He said, $700. $700 was exactly how much money I had. That is what I had been given, $700. So I said, okay, this is important. I'd had a really difficult and painful and terrible relationship with my mother. I had this opportunity to see her if all went well, before she died. So I said, okay, I will spend this ridiculous amount of money on a flight in order that I do something really important. So I did. But that was only the first part. Then, of course, didn't actually have a ticket home. So I arrived at Kolkata Airport, and the guards at the door point the machine guns at me, of course, as usual, say, you can't come in. You know what this is like. No, you don't have a ticket. You can't come in. You can't even enter the airport. So I said, in my most polite English, I said, please help me, my mother is dying. They say this to an Indian. And they said, okay, madam, just call from that phone, call this number. And there was a phone outside the airport. I call the number. The phone is dead. Completely dead. Nothing. There's no one there. And they see me trying to call. They see me trying to call and nothing's happening. And I go back. Get the guns again. And they say, please help me. The phone line is dead. And they say, oh. And they come and they try it and it's dead. And then this man just looked at me and said, don't worry, madam. I will help you. And so off he went inside and he found someone from Singapore Airlines, whatever airline it was. Yes, Singapore Airlines. And they came to get me. And they took me inside. And, of course, they put me on the plane. And I managed to get home. I flew the whole flight, not knowing if my mother was still alive or not. And I arrived in Australia. My brother said, we don't believe it. How did you do it? How did you get out of India? And I said, look, I'm here. And I'm here only through the generosity of those people who gave me an offering of dharma. Otherwise, I would not have been able to come. And of course, when I met my mother, even though we'd had a difficult relationship, she was overjoyed and overwhelmed to see me. And just absolutely delighted that I could come. And as it happened, she didn't die immediately. She lived for 12 days. And I spent that 12 days bringing some resolution to my rather painful and difficult relationship. So those people who gave me the dharma at that retreat gave me something more precious than you can ever imagine. So when we give, sometimes we don't actually fully understand the enormous benefit. So in that spirit, I invite you to offer what it is that you can in order to support this wonderful tradition of teaching and generosity, and of both giving and receiving. What was given to me at that time was utterly precious, and I'll be grateful until my last breath. I'm grateful also for your presence, for all of my teachers who helped me see a way to live life that's joyful, to live life wakefully, to live life intelligently. I'm grateful for my fellow teachers, for Leela, for Jonathan, for everything, their absolute support of me during this week. So wonderful. And it's been really, really joyful together as well. And we've had delightful and wonderful conversations, some ordinary conversations just about each other's lives, and some wonderful deep discussions on the fine points of dharma and teaching. I'm also grateful to Tobana for inviting me. It's always an extraordinary pleasure to be here, and I love the depth of intensity of inquiry and also the passion that you all bring to the inquiry and to the practice. It's completely precious. So thank you very much for having me. Perhaps we could just sit for a minute or two.